Meow. 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 Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live from the back alleys of Babylon. We babysit the binary blip inside your brain with a combination of badinage and technological tabulations, helping to sacralize your senses to the salacious songs of liberty. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, which allows use by everyone except who, Angela?
The government.
Yes, we don't want any government here. So this is Chandler St. Pierre from Maine, and my wonderful co-host tonight is Angela Keaton, and you're from the West Coast broadcasting?
Yes, I'm broadcasting from right in beautiful West Hollywood.
Oh, how's the weather out there?
It's cold. It's very cold. It's like 52 degrees, and I'm wearing several layers of clothing.
Wow, yeah, that is kind of cold. We had some great weather up here for Christmas. In Maine, it was like 60 degrees. I was loving it. I was sitting on my dad's front porch going, well, it's kind of a bummer having no snow on Christmas, but you know what? I could deal with 60 degrees, but the temperatures dropped considerably the last couple of days. I think winter is coming for sure.
It certainly has come to Hollywood.
So tonight, we're just going to issue this right off the bat. I think we're going to call this episode Spoil Everything. It's a spoil alert. We're going to talk about movies and whatever else comes to our sick, twisted little minds, but we're definitely going to discuss Star Wars, which I have seen, but you haven't, have you, Angela? Why is that?
No, I was too drunk on Friday night to see it. I had tickets. I just... Wow. I had a lot of champagne alone.
Yeah, that'll do it. I got a bottle of absinthe for Christmas. I treated myself to it, but I was going to have some, but I guess there's a real big ritual to drinking it. You know, you need drippers and all this stuff, and I was like, geez, who would have thought drinking alcohol was so hard? So I haven't tried it yet, luckily.
How exciting, though.
It should be fun. I didn't even think that stuff was legal in the U.S., but apparently it is. I guess that was just a myth.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun on your tongue.
Well, you know, when we went to Pork Fest, not last year, but the year before, I think it was, there was a guy who had brewed some, and he had it in a keg, and it was straight from the keg to a plastic Dixie cup, and it was $2 a cup, and, well, the night didn't end well. It ended with me being pushed in the tent and told to go to sleep. So I think at one point I wanted to go wake up Ben Stone and have a long chat with him. Keep in mind, it was probably 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And my friends wisely advised that he probably wouldn't be appreciative of being woken up at that hour. But yeah, so they just stuck me in the tent and I slept it off. Pork Fest.
Yes, it's a place where one wants to forget things that happened at the event.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good place to forget. Period. It's heaven on earth for that week that you're there. Anyway, you know. So yeah. I guess before we start, too, we have a bit of sad news. The great Lemmy Kilminster has shed his mortal coil. He had a really, really short battle with cancer. I guess he found out he had cancer on the 26th of December, and he passed away this evening.
So he died here in Los Angeles at 4 p.m. playing video games.
Yeah, well, at least he died doing what he loves.
What a beautiful ending to a beautiful story. He had an apartment, apparently, not too far off of Sunset that he lived in for the last several decades.
Yeah, he was... quite a character. I was fortunate enough to see them, Motorhead, once at Ozfest, and they were one of the warm-up acts for the main stage. They were like one of the first acts, and they were great. They were just loud and your typical rock and roll band, you know. It was great. We were just kind of recovering from being out in the sun all day under the second stage, and we got to the pavilion and sat down and relaxed for a few minutes, and out comes Motorhead and just made our brains explode. It was great.
I'm a little teary-eyed hearing that story.
Yep. They were something else. I'm glad I at least got to see them once. I was really disappointed because two of the bands I really want to take my kid to see, well, I wanted to, was Motorhead, and I'm hoping to get her to see Slayer at least once.
Oh.
So, we'll keep our fingers crossed for Slayer. Hopefully they'll do one tour before they call it quits here. But, so yeah, you'll be sadly missed, Lemmy. But keep on rocking in the next life or whatever it is you believe in. So yeah, Star Wars. Well, I'm quite a Star Wars nerd. I'm quite a sci-fi nerd to begin with. I've read many of the books, seen the movies hundreds of times, and unlike a lot of people, I didn't think George Lucas was really horrible for making the prequels. I enjoyed them for what they were. You know, they probably could have been done better, but, you know, if you don't like it, you try it, right? So I kind of felt the same way about the new Star Wars The Force Awakens movie. I was really skeptical because I saw the Star Trek reboot that J.J. Abrams directed, and if they hadn't put the Star Trek name on it, it would have been a great movie. It was a great action movie. And I didn't quite feel the same about Star Wars. It wasn't really horrible. It wasn't great. I felt like a lot of it was rushed. The character development was really rushed, and the movie just seemed to be short. It was like 2 hours and I think 16 minutes. They probably could have added another hour and I would have been happy, but, you know, you can't please everyone, especially when it comes to sci-fi nerds. And I guess the only other complaint I have is so many of the sci-fi Star Wars fans complained about the originals and how they didn't pay, complained about the prequels and how they didn't pay homage to the originals. And I think they tried to do that with the new Star Wars movie, and they took it a little bit too overboard. You know, I mean, it was the same story. A young teenager who has lived a life of dull misery on a desert planet, you know, getting thrust into this rebellion. It had the same elements, an evil general, you know, Kylo Ren kind of reprised the role of Darth Vader, and there was even an emperor like character, and they even had like the Death Star. I think in this one they called it Star Killer, and of course it was exploited by this tiny weakness, you know. So it could have been a little more original, especially, like I said, having read so many of the expanded universe Star Wars books. But it wasn't bad, and I am glad I got to see it in the theater. I was very fortunate because, you know, being as cheap as I am, I didn't get tickets, but a friend of mine did, and she took my daughter and I. So, and boy, I haven't been to a movie theater in a long time, but the one I went to, they redid it, and it had recliners and tables and everything. It was pretty amazing. I was like, wow, kind of wish the movies were like this when we were kids.
The recliners are really something. I just want to go for that.
Yeah, it was nice.
Giant mega screen.
Well, I'm kind of picky. Like, I have a, I don't know, 42 inch widescreen TV, and I have 7.1 stereo surround. I have my computer hooked up in my living room, my media center, so I try to get that theater experience, you know, even if I'm just watching Family Guy or something. But it was nice to go to the theater and have the full experience. And I got to admit, with the exceptional ooh and laughter, the crowd was pretty good. It was very strange. I expected much more of a rowdy crowd because we went opening night, but it was good.
Were there quite a bit of costumes?
Not as many as you'd expect. I actually got a set of Chewbacca pajamas there, like the onesies or whatever that a friend of mine had gotten me for my birthday, and they begged me to wear them to the movie theater, and I almost did, but they're a little tight, and I was like, I don't know if I can sit through a movie for 2 hours wearing that. But I actually saw a couple other people that had that same outfit, and then there was a couple people dressed up as Han Solo and Princess Leia. There was a guy probably my age, maybe a little bit older, and he had like full Jedi robes, everything, and it wasn't the cheap Halloween costume you buy for $30. You could tell this stuff was probably handmade or whatever. He looked really cool, but you can't carry any lightsabers. Like, it's really a bummer. No lightsabers or blaster, like even toys. There's a big sign in the movie theater, you know. I don't know if they're all worried or PC or whatever now, but you can't carry any of that stuff anymore, which is sad, because when I remember when I went to the prequels opening night, you know, we all had our plastic lightsabers and whatever, but alas, no more. But the costumes were pretty cool.
Well, that's wonderful. All over the arc light here, you know, in Hollywood, there are all kinds of stern warnings about not to get too dressed up and don't create distractions and don't act like idiots.
Yeah. Well, I can see, like, you know, not being an idiot and ruining the experience for others. But come on, you know, it's opening night. The costumes are, that's half the fun. I mean, I did it for Star Wars, and I think for one of the Star Trek movies even, too, I dressed up. So, I mean, that's half the fun. I was really surprised, like, they weren't more strict about cell phones and stuff, because, you know, if you've got a good cell phone with an extra battery, you can make, you know, like the pirated cam movies that everyone's doing, but they weren't really concerned with any of that. They were more concerned with bringing in plastic lightsabers. It was kind of strange.
The have you ever seen a movie that was taped on an iPhone?
Oh, yes.
You can tell the difference.
You can. And, you know, I downloaded a cam copy just to, like, after I saw the movie, just because I wanted to watch it again. And I tried. I really did. But I couldn't do it. You know, I got through, like, 5 minutes, and I'm like, you know what? I'll either go see it in the theater again, or I'll just wait till it comes out on DVD, because I can't do the washed-out, semi-blurred version. It just, it's not right.
No.
So, yeah. More on pirating movies and spoilers and crazy stuff after we go to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow. So, yeah, we're going to continue with our tradition of spoiling. I guess all I can say before we tie up the Star Wars thing is, you know, if you haven't seen it and you're even a mildly, you know, a mild sci-fi Star Wars fan, definitely go see it. It's worth it. Disney and J. Abrams didn't screw the pooch too much on it. Although Disney is marketing the heck out of everything Star Wars, it kind of makes me a little disgusted, even being the capitalist I am. But, you know, whatever. Go see it. And spoiler, the villain Kylo Ren is not Luke Skywalker. It's actually Han Solo and Leia's son. So there you go. If you haven't seen it, well, you were warned. So you want to spoil a movie for me that I haven't seen, Angela?
The Hunger Games, whatever edition, the fourth one, which I guess is three part two or something. Oh. Something really ludicrous and ridiculous.
kind of like they did with the Harry Potter movies. They split the last one into two.
Gosh, yeah. This was dreadful. I mean, it had a lot of kapows and kabams, and I'm for that. And though I'm absolutely now thoroughly exhausted of seeing steampunk in every single movie that's come out in the past 2 years, I'm over that aesthetic entirely. It was entirely, I don't know, I don't even know what the heck the story was. Libertarian told me this is such a great movie to watch. It just seems like every other crappy dystopian movie. But essentially, no one, I mean, I could not in any way, shape, or form believe Jennifer Lawrence was a 16-year-old. Her voice is like a 40-year-old woman's. So you're listening to this middle-aged woman's voice come out of somebody's body who's not a teenager, who's supposed to be a 16-year-old, which made the story even less believable. And this surreal weirdness of, I forgot that Philip Seymour Hoffman was in these movies, and yes, he was far too lifelike. And then Woody Harrelson, who should be a good addition to every movie, but instead here just seemed like he was in another movie entirely. In his scenes.
What kind of role did he play?
Something weird looking. I mean, I couldn't tell you whether it was a villain or a demon or a
that good,
guy.
Huh?
And it just, yeah, it was. If I hadn't, I was with some friends, and my friend's father had split a medical gummy bear with me, which is what made the movie actually bearable. I mean, without the gummy bear, I would have been very depressed for 2 hours. If it was that long, it might have been longer. Yeah, it would have been horrible without it. It needed some kind of sedative or hallucinogenic, or in this case, a sensible medicine, like an herbal sativa.
I once saw... did you see this? This reminds me, of course. Okay, I once saw the Independence Day movie, you know, the one with the aliens.
Okay.
I dropped a bunch of acid and convinced my dad to give me money and take me to the movie theater. I don't know how I did that, but I think I was like 16. And I saw that movie while I was tripping. It was all fun and games until, like, they blew up whatever it was, the White House or whatever, and the giant wall of fire came through the screen and scared the living daylights out of me. So, yeah, that was fun. But, yeah, I actually, you know, one of the coolest things about going to the theater is the trailers. And most of the movies, the trailers for the movies I saw kind of sucked when I went to see Star Wars. But there was one that kind of sort of piqued my interest, and they're making a new Independence Day with, you know, same storyline, because Hollywood cannot come up with anything original. Just a bigger ship. This time it's a really big ship that attacks Earth. But it looked kind of cool. And what's his name? He's one of my favorite actors, and I can't remember his name. Jeff Goldblum. He's in this one, too. So it should be interesting.
I will eventually see the Star Wars movie again. I just will have to sober up beforehand. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of kablooms. I do go see action. I tend to go see action movies more than other kind of movies, and I do like the big blockbusters because they do look great on a giant screen.
Yep.
And seeing things on a giant screen is ultimately preferable than anything I'm going to watch on the $40 television set I got off of Craigslist in 2009.
Yeah, for sure. I will say, what is it, one of the big box ones?
CRTs? Oh, it's a box. I mean, it's analog technology.
Nice.
Attached to a DVR box.
That's a thing still? Huh.
That's, yeah. Yes, you can still do that. Well, I mean, I'm, you know, I just finally only this past 3 days surrendered my flip phone, so I'm not really much on technology anymore. That used to be a big thing for me. Now I used to be the first, now I'm the last.
Well, I still have a Motorola flip phone that's got dropped in the toilet and run over, and it still works. So, given my history with smartphones, I'm thinking about going back. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
is something happening in intro music.
It's jumping. I was gonna do some sound effects for the intro, but I'm kind of slacking, so I'll just do it now.
Okay.
Maybe. No. Well, I guess not. Oh yeah, that's because my phone's on vibrate. Oh well. Anyway, so yeah, there's a couple more things I forgot to say about Star Wars. We were talking during the break. One, Harrison Ford totally stole and owned that movie. I mean, I like Harrison Ford anyway, but he was spectacular in that movie. And, you know, he's old, I get it. But he looked really awesome. Like, he looked like you would expect Han Solo to look 30 years from now. The really sad thing was that Carrie Fisher looked even older than him. She had the old woman curled lip and the lisp and
Fiend phone.
Is there more noise? Hello? Oh my goodness. Yep. I'm all, but there's someone here. Thank God.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Angela. I'm Lou. Hey. I don't know where Chandler is. I think he may have been booted or something when I came in. I don't know. Nice to finally meet you.
Oh, it's nice to meet you, too. The Hollywood movie police may have come and gotten him. They're all over the place. They're not here in West Hollywood. They could be there in Maine. You never know. But I'm glad I'm not talking to myself.
Trust me, I understand. I do enough of that off radio. So what did I just walk into other than Chandler getting booted out?
There's some disturbance over the fact that Carrie Fisher is in fact a bit older than she used to be, and she's not quite the lush, lean 19-year-old Princess Leia she was in the first Star Wars. But you know, she's had quite a life.
You mean back when she was 15 or 16, something like that?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So, though I've heard nothing but good reviews of her performance, and I'm excited to not be drunk at some point and to actually see the movie. I'm not really that excited about it, but I just don't want to be that downer who's not excited. I mean, I'm going to go see it, but I'm probably going to end up throwing things at the screen.
Spoiler alert, stormtroopers still can't shoot worth a hoot.
Darn it.
Yeah, I saw it on opening night, and I'm up here in Bear Saskatchewan, Michigan, in the middle of nowhere. There's a little movie theater. It's got 8 different screens in it. I think like each little mini theater inside of there holds maybe 100 people, something like that. And I went to the 10 p.m. showing, and only about half of the seats were sold out when I got in there.
Oh, is your theater well out of the way? Is it quite difficult to get to?
No, it's very central to the little dinky towns in my area. I'm in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. The big city near me has 7,600 people. So.
Fiend phone.
Yo.
It's definitely a lot more remote than West Hollywood, I would say. And possibly even a little bit more remote than Maine. Hey, Chandler. Welcome back.
Hey, Lou. What's going on? I guess I got cyber drone there for a second. Everything just stopped working. Windows. I blame government.
You got gazed.
Yep. I sure did.
But, overall, the movie wasn't too bad. I'm not ready to call J.J. Abrams Jar Jar Abrams, but it wasn't what I was hoping for.
Yeah, that's for sure. But you know, it's interesting. If you've read any of the expanded universe, which I believe is now dubbed Legends, none of it is canon. Disney just, waved their magic wand and decided that all that hard work that fans have done writing books throughout the years doesn't count anymore. But the movie did sort of borrow a little bit from some of the expanded universe. I was kind of happy to see, well, to hear anyway, that Luke decided to train a whole new generation of Jedi and, was eventually betrayed. But that was kind of cool because that happened in the books, too.
You know what? That movie was probably Mark Hamill's best acting performance of his career.
I know. We were talking about that during the break. I mean, it really was, too, because, the last scene of the movie, is Rey climbing this mountain.
No spoilers.
No, we're spoilers all the time.
Well, I already told everybody that stormtroopers can't shoot in this one.
That's not a spoiler. We've known that for 35 years.
Yeah, well, it continued.
Yeah. Well, they had a little bit better shot. I think once you get out of the government indoctrination and abandon, you know, you go AWOL from being a stormtrooper, then you learn how to shoot and fight really good. You know, because Finn...
Once
he left the First Order, he took off his helmet and was done with the First Order. You know, I mean, he even held a lightsaber with no training and went up against some people and took him out. So, you know, I think it's just getting over that government indoctrination.
Well, there's some discussion that he is Lando and Leia's son, because yeah. Han was in Carbonite for quite a long time.
Well, there was that funny meme there. Hey, Han. It's a picture of Lando, and it says, hey, Han, remember when I told you I'd take care of Leia? And it's got a picture of Finn down at the bottom with this dumbfounded look on his face. I think that would work. And there's a lot of speculation. Like, the best part about the whole Star Wars experience was... I tried not to read too much into it the day before I went, but the day after I had off and I pretty much spent the most of the morning on the internet just reading people's critiques and theories about that. And some people have some wild ideas and a lot of people are speculating that Lando is the father. The biggest speculation of that whole film, which I happen to subscribe to, especially I actually read the novelization like as soon as I... got done seeing the movie, I started reading the book, and there's a couple of things in the book that aren't in the movie, a couple of lines, and I happen to believe that, well, it's the dumbest name ever, but Supreme Leader Snoke, what the hell kind of name is that? Anyway, he's basically the Emperor-type character. I happen to believe that he's Darth Plagueis, who was Emperor Palpatine's Sith Master that he supposedly killed, which is also, if you're a Star Wars fan and you like to read, that's probably one of the best Star Wars books out there is Darth Plagueis. It's amazing. And I happen to believe that that's him. And it would be so good and make perfect sense. I hope that they reveal that in the next movie.
I have one problem with that, and that's the conspirators out there are saying that Jar Jar is actually Darth Plagueis.
Yeah, I read that. It's ew, but you know what? Like that guy that originally posted that on Reddit, if you go through and you read the whole thing, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it really does. He played him. I'm sure that's not the case. I hope it's not the case.
I saw a YouTube video and that was a very weak connection, and you couldn't do enough grainy black and white photos with red arrows pointing at stuff that nobody can see to pull that one off.
Read the original Reddit thread, and I'm telling you, you'll be like, man, this guy sucks, because it totally, like, he talks about how, you know, all the critical moments, Jar Jar kind of waves his hand and speaks like a Jedi or a Sith and gets stuff done, like when he talks to Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, and when he grants the Chancellor, you know, a vote for more powers. And I mean, just all this stuff, you know, he does force jumps and, oh man, it's crazy.
No. He doesn't do force jumps. He's a Gungan. I mean, that's what they do, is they jump up in the air and land in the water and all that other stuff.
Well, how did they learn to jump so high? They live in the water.
Have you seen? Well, they live underwater. But yeah. Have you? Tell you what, let's do an autopsy on Jar Jar Binks and look at his leg and muscle structure. I'm sure that will probably answer it. But the other thing is, when he proposes granting the emergency powers to the Chancellor. No, that wasn't him being some evil genius. He wasn't being played. Yeah, it wasn't that long before that when Senator Palpatine was saying, you know, if only somebody were brave enough to grant emergency powers and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so he used the not even Jedi mind trick on Jar Jar. It was a power of suggestion.
Well, there was a lot of speculation of that came from the guy who played Jar Jar. Like, people had been speculating it, and he said, finally, somebody, you know, he tweeted something along the lines of finally, somebody understands Jar Jar. And I guess in the original Phantom Menace script, Jar Jar was supposed to play more of a Yoda-like role, albeit a darker Yoda, but that kind of got changed at the last minute, so I think that's what fueled a lot of that conspiracy stuff about him. But let's just hope it's not true. I mean, I like the prequels, except for Jar Jar. I'm with you on that one, and I'm with most everyone else. He was unnecessary comic relief. I mean, the only line he uttered in the whole three movies that was worth anything was, "My tongue is fat." I thought that was kind of funny. "My tongue is fat," because I've been there. You know, I've been there. I know what that's like. You know, you know, consume what, a little too much, and your tongue gets fat.
I've been there too. I've got my tongue zapped in between a couple couplers on pod racers, and it's happened more than once. I'm ashamed to admit.
Well, that's like a story for a whole show right there.
That's a story for a Pork Fest show.
yeah, it sure is. Yeah, no, but so yeah, Mark Hamill, you know, the closing scene, like everyone was wondering why he wasn't featured in any of the promotional material. And like, I didn't think it was this big mystery. Like I said, right off the bat, I said, the whole movie is going to be the new characters trying to find him, which I don't see how that wasn't predictable, because that's exactly what the movie was. And, you know, the last scene is him turning around, taking off his hood, and giving this really somber, kind of stern look. And it was amazing. Just blew my mind.
Dare I go as far as to say it was rather powerful?
It was. It was. They couldn't have put a better ending on the movie, I will admit. It just, like, I walked out and I was like, no, I don't want to wait 2 years for the next one. I want it now. Netflix has spoiled me.
Michael sent me an email saying that this episode is going to be called Spoiler Alert in the Spoil Away. So, Han and Leia raise a Bernie supporter. Feel the burn.
Oh, ew.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Let's talk about meow. Now see, this is what we're going to talk about now. Meow, do you hear me? Meow.
Meow.
Remember that line from Super Troopers? Where they see how many times they can say meow. I wish all cops were like the cops in that movie.
You mean fictional?
Yeah. Oh, that was perfect. That was so perfect. All right,
just doing my job.
Yep. So, I got this, like, beef with some of my friends. Now, everyone criticizes the Star Wars prequels for a number of reasons, but one of the big criticisms is that they use too much CGI and not enough models and whatever, like the original trilogy. Personally, I don't have a beef with that. I like that. And we were watching the originals, the remastered version, and, you know, they added a couple of scenes, like the Mos Eisley spaceport. There's a couple of scenes with, you know, the big beasts and the CGI characters, and they added stormtroopers and all that. My friend was like, "Oh, that wasn't in the original either." And, you know, she was talking to my daughter, and I'm like, "Who cares? Like, if Lucas had the technology he has now, if he had that technology in 77, it would have been like that, you know?" And people get, like, really hardcore defensive. They're like, "You must watch only the original unmastered cuts." And I'm like, don't tell me what to do. I like that. I think technology is a good thing. Add more CGI, add more explosions. You know, the Death Star explosion for 1977 looked good, but when they did the whole ring explosion and did the CGI, I was like, yeah, give me more, you know? So what's the big problem?
Go ahead,
Natalie Portman isn't in this movie, right?
No.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Well, I think
I had
the biggest failing of the Star Wars prequels was the acting. Like, I didn't think the storyline was that bad. It was a little rushed, especially episode three. I read the books for all those too, and if you read the book for episode three particularly, it really shows Anakin's descent to the dark side better than the screen does, but books always do that. But the acting was what was horrible. It just seemed so labored. Like, I kind of liked Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon, and he gets killed in the first one. Like, ugh, really? But yeah, so what's wrong with the CGI? I don't get it. What do you guys think?
CGI can be great, but it needs to be used with it by a deft hand.
All right, fair enough. Do you think it was overdone in the remasters of the originals and in the prequels?
My eye is modern about these things. I want to see modern things. I don't want to see 1977's version of things.
Exactly. That's my point. I just don't get it. What do you think, Lou?
Yeah, I'm pretty cool with it. I think if they're doing it to enhance the story, but they're not doing it to create the story, you know, for just like inserting CGI for the sake of inserting CGI, that's when I have a problem with it.
All right, fair enough. I can see that.
It's kind of like decorating a house. It can either be tastefully done or it can be extremely tacky.
All right, so do you think now, with the remasters of the originals, where they just added in a few things here and there, like extra stormtroopers in scenes on the Death Star and you know, the lizard things that they were riding, stuff like that, do you think that was overdone?
No.
I don't
either. I thought that the addition of the Mos Eisley spaceport was very good.
Yeah.
I think it actually added something, but instead of doing like a... What I would have a problem with is if they turned like the Mos Eisley spaceport from what they had in the remastering, if they really went wild and made it look like something like Coruscant or something like that, then I might have an issue with it.
That I can see. And I guess like in the 83, what was Jedi made in 83? Like in the remastered version in Jabba's Palace where they have the band. That's cool. Everyone likes the Jabba's Palace band. But then the one with the singing, the chooky 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 wang ding. Yeah, I was like, all right, I could do without that.
You know, I noticed that episode 7 didn't have as many critters and creatures as the other ones had. And they had the cute droid stuff, but it's like they're missing the critters.
Yeah. Simon Pegg played one of the critters. He was in it.
Oh. Wait.
Yes, Shaun of the Dead, Simon Pegg. That's all I'll ever remember him for. So, yeah. More movie critiques and spoilers in the second hour of The Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Boings!
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Intro. We're doing an intro this hour. We're just kind of chilling, talking. But we can tell you that the awesomeness that is the Freedom Fiends talk radio show and podcast is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. It's a license that allows use and reuse by anyone for anything except governments. No, we don't want any of those here. We don't like those. They're useless. They're unproductive. And they make people mad. So, governments, you can't use this show. Sorry.
Refuse. Resist.
Yes. That's a good song by OTEP, actually. You ever heard of that band?
No.
Yeah, they're kind of a metal, screamo, whatever. Really scary chick that sings vocals in it. But, good.
Are you guys familiar with the show Liberty Under Attack?
I think I've listened to it a couple of times.
No, I am not.
The host of that show, Shane, had posted a screenshot of like somebody, you know, looking at who's been visiting the website, and he found Department of Homeland Security from
Potomac.
And it says, sorry, DHS, BIPCOT.
Get off my website. None for you. So, yeah, we should probably introduce ourselves. I'm Chandler from Maine. My wrestling name is the Jabbering Coon Cat. And we have Angela Keaton out on the West Coast. What's your fiend wrestling name, Angela?
If I'm allowed to use it, it's Fiendbone.
Oh, yes, the Fiend. I remember that night at Porkfest when you came up with that.
You're one of the few that remembers that night.
I was sober and tired. So I stayed awake, and I only had like two beers that night. And Lou up in Michigan. What's your wrestling name?
I have three of them. I started off with the Titanium Meerkat because Michael put me on the spot and said, "Here, pick something," and those are the words that popped into my brain. Then I was followed up with the Leashless Labrador for Campaign for a Longer Leash, the Facebook page. Everybody go check that out. And then finally, I became the Chop Shop Rooster.
Yes, I remember that one. So, yeah, we in the last hour, we were spoiling movies and critiquing movies, mainly Star Wars talk, because, you know, I'm a wicked sci-fi nerd, and Lou likes Star Wars and sci-fi, and Angelo's just kind of putting up with us. But we want to talk about the Princess Bride. Angela sent some show notes, and what did you say in the email, Angela, about the Princess Bride?
That so many people who love it are liars.
Well,
people
who love
this movie, they're lying. They're lying to themselves. They're lying about Rob Reiner, and most importantly, they're lying that they. Most of the catchphrases in that movie should have been slapped out of people years ago.
Inconceivable.
Robin Wright looks a lot hotter now than she did as Buttercup, and the whole movie just really falls apart when you start watching it. It's really kind of a nightmare.
But it has Andre the Giant.
You know what else is Andre the Giant? Sometimes my REM cycles. That isn't a reason to go step inside my brain, no, is it? No.
I bet that could be fun, though.
This is a lot of disturbing stuff up in there. But it's just, you know, I've tried. I've tried to see it in different forms. I've even seen it sitting outside in the Silver Lake and here in Los Angeles, and I've just decided that no, it's just one of those things that hype is built on itself. Like people tell itself, "Oh my God, The Princess Bride is such a classic. It's such a classic." You know, people say it's a classic about something that's only like, you know, 25, 30 years old. It's such a classic. No, it's not.
I think it's a classic in the sense that it's the classic fairy tale story, right? The princess in distress and the good guy that saves her, that sort of thing. I'll give you that the acting in it is fairly subpar, especially what's the guy that plays Prince Humperdinck? I can't stand him. He's been in a few movies.
Mandy Patinkin?
Yeah. Okay. If you say so. I don't know. He's one of those actors that you're like, oh, I know him. I've seen him in tons of movies, and you can never remember his name.
It's been so long since I've seen it that I couldn't even tell you. I just think that he's in that movie. So
yeah. Well, his acting is horrible, and it's so exaggerated, and he kind of reminds me of William Shatner almost, you know. But and I love William Shatner, totally. Boston Legal, his best show ever. Anyway, I mean the acting is definitely subpar and very scripted and forced, but I don't know, it's just kind of a fun movie.
Fun for whom? fun for people who had enough sense to not be sober when they started watching the movie?
Well, okay, so I'll admit, probably the first time I saw that movie, I might have been, you know, consuming mind-altering substances, but I've since watched that movie with my kid more than once, as an adult, sober, and we've enjoyed it. It's kind of like Stargate, right? You know? I mean, I have a... Well, I don't know if the story is appropriate for radio, but I had this thing about watching Stargate on Christmas with my friends while consuming many substances once, and it was wonderful and whatever, but the movie is not that great. But even still, we go back years later and watch it, and you're still like, eh, it's all right, I guess. You know?
Stargate is something you watch when you have a Lesbians for Ron Paul meetup after everyone else has gotten drunk.
Really? I gotta do that. I haven't done that yet. That would be kind of cool.
That's what
where do I sign up for that?
you have to live in major cities for that sort of magic to happen.
Figures. And I'm stuck out here in the sticks.
Yeah, it's just the an sticks. Amazing Los Angeles, an amazing city with all these great opportunities like that.
Well, to all the lesbian Ron Paul supporters out there, if you want to come over and watch Stargate, just drop me a line, huh? I'm down.
I'm sure it's at the top of their list.
Yeah, it probably is.
We're going to stop at the Home Depot, though, off of Sunset first.
Okay. You can have a lot of fun. I mean, if you look at the descriptions of what's in the aisles, man, you can have a heck of a party.
Home Depot's where it's at.
That's neither here
nor there. Wait, am I allowed to say that? Oh, that's probably, I'm probably violating some kind of horrible, as well as, you know, giving into stereotypes about my people.
Vipcot.
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm afraid to say something, but whenever I hear Bipcot, it always sounds to me like something a health inspector would make you do when talking about certain sexual acts, which you never would talk about on the radio. I'm just saying that that's what it sounds like to me whenever I hear that. I feel like the health inspector is coming to examine something on me.
I saw that kind of reminds me, I don't know how I'm thinking leaning into this, but I saw this video that a friend of mine that I met at Porkfest posted on Facebook the other day, and it's basically the science of having sex, and, you know, the man and the woman both wear cameras to film and explain the act of sex, and they show everything, you know, inside and out. And I just, like, I'm watching this trying not to laugh. Like, I guess that's kind of juvenile, but hey, I'm kind of juvenile, so whatever. And the only thing I can think of is I wonder if this is going to be a new format for the porn industry. Because it was just so odd, you know? And it was on Facebook and, you know, whatever. You come across the strangest things on Facebook, but yeah, it's out there. And it's quite entertaining to watch. I guess if you ever wondered, I've never really had, but I'm sure there's some people
wondering
out there.
Less.
Well, somebody must have, because obviously there was a demand for it, because some iScience or whatever .com made it. It was like a legitimate, like, I honestly thought it was a parody video at first, but apparently not. It's like a real legit science thing. So yeah. Anyway, back to the Princess Bride.
Yes.
There's none of that. I don't know. It has Billy Crystal in it. Billy Crystal's cool.
No.
No?
Yeah, no, that's just something you might tell yourself, but it's a lie. It's a
Come
lie.
Come on. He was funny in, like, one or two movies. That one.
Oh, he plays Fernando. You look marvelous.
I don't know. I liked Running Scared with him and Gregory Hines.
And there's someone who remembers that movie. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I have that movie on DVD. I've watched it many times. Actually, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, and just keep in mind that I own lots of guns, and I like to hunt and everything, but I kind of like the movie Forget Paris, too, which has him in it. Dead silence. Nobody's seen it. Nobody cares.
I don't want to violate the dead air rule, but I mean, my jaw was dropped when you said that.
Well, I hate dramas and romantic movies, like, really seriously, with a passion. Hate. Like, I used to hate it when girls made me watch chick flicks. It was torture. But I can tolerate that one, and it's kind of funny. So, like, if a girl ever says, oh, let's watch a chick flick, I'd be like, well, there's this one, you know, because it's better than, like, whatever's on Lifetime. So, yeah.
Well, that should that be the standard? I mean, should Lifetime be the standard by which all other movies must compare?
I don't know, but I got to tell you, when I used to work, I worked for a crisis and counseling company, and I worked in a crisis house, and a lot of the times we had women in there, usually from abusive relationships or with mental disorders or whatever, would come in, and I remember that the station that was always on was Lifetime. And I just got to thinking, I'm like, you know, in your current state of mind, I don't think you should be watching 90% of the programming that's on this station. But they loved it. They just ate it up. And it was horrible. It was torture.
Stockholm.
Yes. That's what it was.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
So, Freedom Fiends, making fun of my love for the Princess Bride and Forget Paris since 2015.
There's a lot more rage in me, though. I'm really upset about Zoolander.
I've never seen that.
Well, there's no reason to make a sequel. I don't know why. It just hurts. I don't know what makes them think that that's necessary. No one was asking for, really, we need a Zoolander sequel. No one wanted that. It's just one of these catastrophes that's going to happen in 2016. That there's going to be no stopping.
Don't you live, like, right by Hollywood?
I live in this bustling metropolis of West Hollywood.
So, go set them straight.
You know, this is the gayborhood. Our focus here is different. You know, I'd have to go about 10 blocks to start going to the movie studios, but they are here, though. All the studios are all hidden and in there and in the hills and between trees and different blocks. It's amazing. Well, absolutely amazing.
I don't know. Like, I have this mixed feeling about Hollywood. Like, you know, I'm like every other Joe. I like to watch a good movie with lots of explosions and a semi-decent plot. But it just seems to me that more and more of the movies that come out are either reboots, sequels, or just rehashed old ideas. There seems to be very little original movies coming out now. I mean, which is probably why I read so much more and watch, you know, like Netflix and, you know, HBO. Like, I just started watching Game of Thrones, the season 5. I had to stop watching, read all the books, and started watching the shows at the same time, and I was getting too frustrated because the show is so different from the book. But now that it's been like 6 months, 8 months since I've read the book, I've forgot them, and I can watch the show and not be judgmental. And, you know, there's House of Cards and then, you know, the classics like Family Guy and all that. But I can't seem to watch new movies. Like, I watch old movies or TV or read, because new movies just don't seem to do it anymore.
There's dead air. Well, and my rage.
Yeah. Your rage is good for dead air.
If they can hear my anger.
We need to put some cerebral implants in your brain so we can hear that anger.
Oh, that's a sound effect that I don't think the FCC would allow. I'm going to see more movies in 2016. I just want to see less steampunk. But you know what else, though? You mentioned this genre of movies that does exist is the romantic comedy. And what's really sad is when E! Television Network decides to not do original programming, they'll stick in movies, and it's called, the categories they call Movies We Love. And it's always the worst possible films. I mean, just crap. I mean, just
like pay, what?
You know, like Spanglish with Adam Sandler, one of his many romantic movies. I mean, you know Adam Sandler's a romantic lead in a movie. You know it's going to be garbage. It's telling you it's G for garbage.
yeah, I'm with you there.
It's hard. It's just a nightmare. And then there's there's a movie with Jennifer Aniston and Kris Kristofferson. Oh wait, what's it called? I'm not that into you. Well, I guess No would be a perfectly good title too, since it should be No. Ben Affleck is in it, so you know that his scintillating dynamic on-screen charisma carries the movie. I've never seen a man so wooden, and why is he so acclaimed? I mean, what is the secret to Ben Affleck? Does he have pictures of people in Hollywood in unfortunate positions that involve curling irons? I mean, I'm confused.
He must, because he's not that good. And he's playing the new Batman. I don't get it. I guess it's better than George Clooney, but still, come on.
Oh, no.
How about Michael Keaton?
You know what? I know people are going to bag on that, but I loved Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson in the first Batman.
Batman must be taller than Kim Basinger. Sorry.
Yes, that's true.
A large percentage of the population is not going to be taller than Kim.
How tall is she?
She's tall. Probably close to 6 feet, I would guess.
Wow. Hey, here's something that I bet not too many people know. Do you know that she recorded a song with Ozzy called Shake Your Head, Go to Bed?
Who did that?
No.
Yes. Look it up on Kim Basinger, whatever her name is. It's a really horrible 80s synth pop song with Ozzy singing, and she does backup vocals. It's called Shake Your Head. Oh, it's horrible. Horrible. I think you can find it on the Prince of Darkness box set. But, yeah. She does the backing vocals in that song.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is in property.
And Worms, The Road to Freedom.
Yeah. Somebody's purring. Thinking about the E! Network got you going?
Oh, gosh. I just don't think I had to erase the thought of romantic comedies in my mind.
Well, here's one then. Have you seen the new Mad Max?
I did see the last one.
Yeah. What'd you think?
It's even as minimal acting as required for that movie, the cast still managed to fail.
Wow, you are a tough critic, huh?
I have a C curve.
Yeah,
I'm picky about these things. I mean, I'm going in there to watch all their kabows and kapams and booms and stuff on the screen. I'm going to be picky, and I expected more from Shirley's Theron. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing her name correctly, but I've seen her act in movies. I know she's capable of it, so I wasn't sure what the hell that I was exactly watching when I saw.
Well, that's kind of the sense I got watching that movie. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be seeing. Like, I guess for me, the best part of the movie was the guy playing guitar, like all strung up on wires on the truck, just going. I just thought of Death Clock. I was like, all right.
Well, that was works. Great. That part was good. I mean, in fact, if they just gotten rid of dialogue entirely, it would have been best.
Yeah. But yeah, it kind of made me scratch my head. I was just like, huh, okay.
Well,
but it's been years since I've watched the originals. Yeah. So, are you going to go see Deadpool on Valentine's Day? Either of you guys?
Probably not.
Really?
The last movie I saw in the theater was Star Wars Episode 3, I think.
Yeah.
I take that back. I did see Django Unchained.
Okay, I haven't seen that one. I think though, I'm with you. The last one I saw was Episode 3. I probably will go see Deadpool in the theater, only because I got a gift certificate to the movie theater for Christmas. So, you know, I might as well put it to good use. And I am pretty excited to see that. I think it's going to be good. I know it has Ryan Reynolds, but he's wearing a mask.
That's really kind. Yeah, wearing a mask, that's probably the best performance he's capable of. I get him confused with an eraser or a stump. Or a box of manila folders.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's got promise. I will say, like, I don't know, what is it, Marvel Studios now, I guess? They, like, got their own studios. They're kind of doing all right with the whole, you know, Civil War and Captain America and, you know, Infinity Wars. I'm actually kind of psyched about that because I've always followed that stuff and read all the comics back when I was 12 and whatever. So and some of the movies look good. I'm not excited for the new X-Men, though, I got to tell you. I saw the trailer for that and I was just like, no, bring back Patrick Stewart. He's great.
Who's going to be in the new X-Men?
It's all the people that were in the last one, like the younger incarnations of all the X-Men.
Oh,
it's
right.
Not the original cast. But speaking of Patrick Stewart, I think you could appreciate the show. Have you ever seen the show Blunt Talk?
No.
Oh my God, Google that and just watch it. Find it and watch it. It is hilarious. It's Patrick Stewart plays like a kind of like a Bill O'Reilly type character, but he's a total drunk and drug addict and just all around really nice guy, but completely crazy. And his whole, like, you know, show crew that does all his show prep and everything, they have like all these weird neuroses and issues and whatever. And it's a thoroughly, thoroughly entertaining show.
All right. Well, I will definitely Google that.
And he's great for however old he is. He is just an amazing cat.
He is. He is quite a cat. Oh, I heard something explode in my ear. That's okay. No dead air.
No,
not allowing any
here.
Of that.
Yeah, no.
I think Chandler bumped his microphone.
I probably did.
With his beverage.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
With my water bottle. Yeah. So yeah, Marvel Studios and Disney has got like Star Wars movies. They're going to bombard us. Like, you know, it's 2 years before the next one comes out, but they've got like the Star Wars Rogue Squadron movie coming out next year, and then they'll have the Episode 8, and then after that they're gonna have like the Han Solo anthology, and then Episode 9. Oh, yeah. They're going to market this stuff. And
it'll be Sex and the City 3.
I haven't even seen one yet. Please,
there's no reason to. There's no reason I can recommend safely to do that.
What's kind of funny, though, is if you watch, like, I've never actually watched that show, but when I used to go to the gym, it was on the TV, and, you know, there's no volume, and you kind of glance up at it and watch it with no volume. It's almost funny.
No, it's sad.
Well, you make up your own dialogue, though.
It's crazy outfits.
Yeah.
It's just a strange world that those women inhabit. I know this because sometimes E doesn't remember to put on good original programming, so they'll have Sex the City Marathon, so you keep turning it on hoping it's something better, but no, it just keeps progressing, and it's just horrible.
It sounds horrible. What were you going to say, Lou?
I was going to say, isn't that episode one or whatever, isn't that where Carrie gets married to Mr. Big or whatever?
Yes.
Isn't that a band?
No. Yeah, it is.
Don't ask me how I knew that.
Probably for the same reason that I've seen Sex in the City Part 1.
Yeah. You poor thing.
Yeah.
Were you sufficiently traumatized?
Yeah, but she made up for it.
Okay.
But I'm wondering if episode 8 of Star Wars is going to be a rehash of the prequels, like episode 7 was a rehash of the first three movies.
God, I hope not. But there is a rumor that Hayden Christensen is going to be appearing in it as Darth Vader, whether it's a flashback or a Force ghost or whatever.
I hope he learns how to act.
Yeah, exactly. If he learns how to act, I'm not totally opposed to that.
Maybe he'll be like Mark Hamill and he won't have any speaking lines and it'll be the best performance of his career.
Yeah, just standing there as Darth Vader. You know what's really funny is I have the original trilogy on DVD, and I watched one of the featurettes on the bonus disc, and it's the making of Darth Vader for episode 3, right? And it shows that they had a 3D printer in this, and we're talking what, like 10 years ago at least? And I guess Darth Vader's helmet in the original was not symmetrical, which is just weird. I mean, his helmet is weird anyway, but anyway, let's not go there. And it's not symmetrical, so they like scanned it and then like duplicated it and 3D printed it. They went through all this work to create the Darth Vader outfit for Hayden Christensen, and he has it on for what, like 2 minutes at the end of the movie?
If that.
I'm like, wow, you know, now we understand why the budgets for these Hollywood movies are so big, you know. I mean, they put a lot of work into this, but if you want to watch a really cool documentary, check out, I think I've talked about it before, if you're a Star Wars fan, that is, check out the documentary Empire of Dreams. It's basically the story of the first three Star Wars films, and basically George Lucas. It's one of the bonus documentaries on the bonus disc there. And it's like 2.5 hours long, but it's tolerable. I actually liked it. They show how they made all the, you know, the special effects and the stop motion and the models, you know, back in the 70s and 80s for all the movies. It's really interesting.
It certainly sounds it.
Yeah. Well, you know, couldn't just type it into a computer like you can now. Like I was talking on the break, I was watching a fan video, and it was Spider-Man versus Darth Maul. And I think the other day I watched a parody one that was really funny, and it was Wolverine versus Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it's just amazing what you can do with technology now. You get a cell phone camera with HD, and you can record stuff, and then you just light track it in Adobe Premiere or whatever, and you can just do the most amazing things. And you don't have to be like a filmmaker with a $1 million budget. So yay, technology.
Yes, democracy. No, this is great. It's allowing everyone to take a stab at art.
Yep. And most of it's really horrible, but hey, at least they put it out there.
Most people's art's going to be horrible. This is just the truth. This is just what is reality.
Well, I think, like, as far as that goes, art in general, whether it's, you know, poetry or music or movies or books, it's all subjective, you know? I mean, I'm a big fan of Charles Bukowski, and honestly, his writing is not anything special. I just really happen to like his work, but I know people that think he is, like, horrible, and just they can't understand how he was a successful published writer, you know? But yeah, I guess it's all subjective, you know? I don't like Sex in the City, but apparently there's a demand for it.
Somebody does. I've yet to meet anyone who has, but
I kind of want it just to see what kind of breed of human they are.
See if they're not full of festering wounds and resentments.
Yep. Well, that could very well be. So yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of movies, new movies that I've seen. I haven't watched a lot of new ones. I've been on an old movie kick lately. I watched One Crazy Summer a few weeks ago. I haven't watched that since I was a kid. It was like Demi Moore when she was young and sexy.
Well, you know, Demi Moore is fine with the sound off.
Yeah, well, she didn't have a lot of speaking parts in that movie anyway, so. But it had Bobcat Goldthwait, which is always a plus. Come on! You don't like that?
No.
No.
Just dump that.
Oh, he's something else. Well, he's apparently still making movies. Like, we were watching it, we were like, I wonder where he is now. And we looked it up, and he's in a new TV show and a movie. And you know who else is still doing, like, television is Gilbert Gottfried.
As a genius.
If you can believe it. I always liked him. I used to watch USA Up All Night, and he was the host of it. He was always very entertaining.
He's a genius.
Well, we'll be back with more Loudmouths and Geniuses.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Ridiculous and horrible movies. Have either of you seen Sharknado?
No.
You are fortunate. I had a female friend of mine come over one night, and we were having a few drinks and browsing Netflix, and she said, oh, we should watch this, Sharknado. And I'm like, why? And she was like, it has, you know, I don't know his name, the jock guy in 90210.
Jason Priestley?
No, he was the, like, sexy playboy guy. No, it was the jock guy. I don't know. Whatever.
I am hearing?
Yes, that's who it was. Yes. I know, because she must have said his name, like, five times during the course of the night. Like, trying to, like, sell the movie on that. And I was like, I didn't like the show he was in, and I haven't seen him in anything since, so... But yeah, no, ridiculous B-movie. And I like some B-movies. Like, I can watch The Toxic Avenger and, you know, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, you know, the old trauma picks. But no, this Sharknado thing, it just was horrifying. And I was forced to sit through the whole thing. You know, whatever, the things we do. But, and apparently there's three of them. As if the first one wasn't bad enough. I just don't get it. Sharks and tornadoes. How do the two mix? I
don't know. That's what, like, you need to tell us. What is the plot?
Yeah.
The plot is
Redemption,
like,
of the third act. Tell us how this works.
The plot is like sharks and tornadoes. Like, there's a big tornado, I don't know, because of global warming or El Nino or something. Like, maybe there was some sort of political message that I was just too disgusted to see. Thankfully, but yeah, like giant tornadoes throwing sharks all over town, you know, flooding, and like this house flooded and there was a shark in the house. And yeah, I don't know. I guess if you're really stoned or really wasted and you don't have anything to do and you want to, like, waste an hour and a half of your life, go ahead, check it out. More power to you. But no, yeah, I don't know. Old movies are the best. I was telling you, Lou, during the break, I found a group that's recoding, encoding, whatever, older movies. They're releasing a lot of them, and I watched The French Connection and The Package, both with Gene Hackman, the other day. I'd never seen either of them. Thoroughly impressed, and I was just like, wow, what happened to cinema? Like, you know, there wasn't a lot of special effects or anything, but it was a really good plot line and really good acting. So, yeah, I want more of that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, what's your favorite old movie, Angela? If you had to pick, like, one or two.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny. This actually came up at Porkfest, but suddenly last summer, that would be a movie I would watch again. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yep.
I like Carnal Knowledge quite a bit.
Okay, so I don't know a lot of these. I mean, there must be an age difference. I must be really old or something, because I don't know a lot of these. I know The Cat on the Tin Roof.
Five Easy Pieces. Deliverance.
Deliverance, yes. Know that one. How about you, Lou? What say you?
I'm doing show notes for Wednesday. So
very good.
So I have absolutely zero thought. I'm just here riding along doing third wheel in case you get freedom droned again.
Well, yeah, it's always a possibility. You never know.
I think we're going to be pretty safe, though.
Yeah. We've only got a few minutes left. So, no, I mean, like we were saying before, I guess all art is subjective. And the great thing about today is, through technology and communications, there's so much out there. Like, if you're bored nowadays, then I don't know, you got some issues. Like, there's no excuse to be bored. There's always something to be doing, something to be watching, listening to, reading, learning. I mean, there's just so much information out there. Some of it is not true. Some of it's horrible. Some of it's really, really wonderful. So soak it up. You know, I mean, hey, the Freedom Fiends are on radio, so, you know, what does that tell you?
There's something higher up.
Yes, there is a higher power. Well, hey, it was good talking with the both of you, and I look forward to doing it again real soon.
Nice to meet you, Angela, and nice to talk with you. Nice to talk with you again, Chandler. It's been a very long time.
Yeah. Well, I only get out once a month, you know. I leave my seclusion once a month to get on the radio, so it works. But, yeah. Well, take care, everyone out there in Radio Land. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. And we will be back tomorrow. Worms. Nice.